Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of James, James chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Verses 1 through 22, James chapter 1. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity for us as believers to be individuals who are listening to your word daily and doing it and living it. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to fill up on your word daily and to be doers of the word as well. Help us to know, Lord, that so many good things happen in the earth as your church simply lives a lifestyle of obedience to your word and your will and your spirit. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson, our producer, is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of faith. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we get to walk in your commands, and that we get to walk in your ways. Thank you so much for the Holy Spirit who helps give us strength. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much that whenever we do face trials, when we do face difficulties, that it's not for nothing, but that it is so that we can grow more in your likeness, so that you can refine us, that you can make us more holy and more pure. And so Heavenly Father, I ask that we would step out more and more into your ways, into goodness, into loving our neighbors, so that we could more experience your reality. Because we know that you are loving us all the time. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to say thank you to our listeners who, on a pretty regular basis, we get inquiries for requests for different prayer tools, articles that we share. And remember, one of our goals is to put into your possession lots of prayer tools and discipleship tools that'll help you in your walk with the Lord, help you in the discipling of your family, and help you to have items to share with others so that you can be a vessel God uses to bless and encourage others in their discipleship walk and as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So please remember, we're glad to share the items we share. Thank you for all those many who've emailed us to get copies of the different prayer tools and discipleship tools, and those that may request prayer as well. I want to share an article now entitled A Skilled Warrior and His Sword. To get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Again, this title, A Skilled Warrior and His Sword. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Then Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 17 through 18. And then 1 Samuel 17, verses 50 to 51. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Again, 1 Samuel 17, verses 50 to 51. Every disciple of Jesus Christ would be wise to strive to become a kingdom warrior. A kingdom warrior is a disciple of Christ who skillfully puts the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, to work in their lives every day. We live in a world where all people everywhere are facing intense spiritual warfare every day of their lives. We face it at home, at school, at work, in public, everywhere. We see it in the news, and we see it in the news about our government, in our culture, and all across the world. What if people say that they don't want to be involved in spiritual warfare? And what if a given person says they don't want to have anything to do with spiritual warfare? None of us have a choice in the matter. Like civilians who happen to be in a war-torn land, war has come to us, like it or not. Since we have no choice but to face spiritual warfare in our lives, then let's face it head on. We can live like civilians and just be victims of the killing, abuse, problems, and difficulties of war, or we can choose to become well-equipped soldiers and warriors trained for spiritual warfare. Hopefully, all believers want to become warriors in God's kingdom. With God as the supreme authority, who wouldn't want to follow him into battle? The most powerful weapon in the world is the Word of God. And here are seven ways that we can put the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to work in our lives and in our world. And as we do, we can become mighty men and women of God who know how to win battles on the battlefields of life. Here are seven ways to use the Word of God every day. We can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. Again, that's read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. All of these uses are related, but none of them are quite the same. You can read the Word of God, but not hear it. You can hear the Word of God, but not choose to obey it. You can believe the Word of God, but not necessarily pray it. Consider the following. The written Word of God is a book of faith. From Genesis to Revelation, we're called to hear, believe, and obey the Word. If we hear the Word of God but don't obey it, we deceive ourselves. The Word of God is a book of truth, yet truth is always meant to be learned and applied. We are to read the Word of God and act like it's true because, of course, it is. We will not receive the blessing and benefits of the Word of God fully when we fail to obey and act on it. One example of a very fruitful way to put God's Word to work in our lives is by praying the Word of God. Here's an example of taking the Word of God and praying it. Thank you, Lord, for all those that are listening at this time, and thank you for all those persons that we've lifted up in prayer today. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot, because we have set our love upon you. Therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We are called to be mighty warriors in the army of God. Our main weapon is the Word of God, also known as the sword of the Spirit. See Ephesians 6:10-20. Let's be wise enough to take our sword, the powerful Word of God, into battle every single day. And let's be wise enough to use the Word strategically, skillfully, and aggressively. This is how we walk in victory every day. Again, the title of this article, A Skilled Warrior and His Sword. And then an additional article we'd like to share is entitled, Accessing the Vast Ocean of God's Grace. Again, accessing the vast ocean of God's grace. 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Again, 2 Chronicles 16:9. And then 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Again, 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. The great servant of the Lord, John Wesley, used the term means of grace, referring to spiritual disciplines or spiritual habits. Though his term may not be used a great deal today, it's probably a much more encouraging and useful phrase than spiritual disciplines. The term explains what using these tools accomplish for us in our lives. We cannot earn grace. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in his mercy and grace, came into this world, lived, died on the cross to pay for our sins, and then rose again from the dead 3 days later. It's through his work he made the ocean of God's grace abundantly available to each and every one of us. How do we gain access to this ocean of grace? One of the wonderful tools is a means of grace to which we need to give serious attention is simple yet profound. We might call this a key to the storehouse of God's unlimited grace. What is that key? Well, Matthew 7:7-12 tell us, Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who if his son asks for bread will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish will he give him a serpent? We can pick up on the other side as we're reading from an article entitled Accessing the Vast Ocean of God's Grace. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Put my hope in
music of Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and eternal salvation. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as we've been reading, as we'll be reading through the Word of God shortly, but completing an article that we'd begun to share. The title of this article is Accessing the Vast Ocean of God's Grace. How do we gain access to this ocean of grace? One of the wonderful tools is a means of grace to which we need to give serious attention is simple yet profound. We might call this a key to the storehouse of God's unlimited grace. What is that key? Well, let's look in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12 to find out. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. Let's be wise enough not to come to the ocean of God's grace in prayer with only a teaspoon. At least bring a 2 or 3 gallon jug, but better yet, bring a tanker truck with a pump. On any given day, God will allow you to pray as much as you will. In fact, he commands us to pray without ceasing. See 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Why is it important that we pray continually in obedience to the Lord? So that we may fulfill our calling to be doers of the word, James 1:22. Also, there's so much work in our lives to be done that only God can do. And bigger than that, there's so much work in the world and in the kingdom of God to be done. We must pray for more laborers to be sent into God's harvest. We must pray for God to send forth missionaries. We are wise to pray for ourselves and others in the body of Christ to be boldly giving our time, talent, and treasure to the work of the building of God's kingdom every single day. God stands ready to do more in and for any believer who is wise and obedient enough to ask for more for him, a lot more. Why not pray a prayer like the prayer of Jabez every single day and then expect and watch God to answer it every single day? Pray it over yourself. Pray it over your family. Pray it over your job. Pray it over your ministry. Use it wisely every single day. Again, the title of that article, Accessing the Vast Ocean of God's Grace. If you'd like to get a copy of this article or the first article, again, the title of the first article was A Skilled Warrior and His Sword. These or any other prayer tools or articles that we provide, we're glad to get them to you. Once again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad and honored to get them into your possession by way of email. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, starting at verse 41. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me. For I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually, forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have come in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me, because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me, that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. But I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me. Those who know your testimonies, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, "When will you comfort me?" For I have become like a wineskin in smoke. Yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? Reading that verse again. When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Receive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You established the earth, and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. You through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth, like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Through verse 128, reading through Psalm 119. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the chance for us to read and study and meditate on your word daily. Thank you for all those persons that we've lifted up in prayer today. And thank you for all those that are part of our listening family, Lord. Thank you for us as your church, and thank you for us as a nation. Help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us to not take your name in vain. Help us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back.
bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, still call the sea to still, the rage in me to still every way. At your name, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, breathe, call these bones to live, call these lungs to sing once again.
Mosaic with Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up in the New Testament now, reading through the Word of God in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 20, beginning at verse 27. Then some of the Sadducees, who denied that there is a resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies having a wife, and he dies without children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her as wife, and he died childless. Then the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife does she become? For all seven had her as wife." Jesus answered and said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels, and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But even Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised when he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Then some of the scribes answered and said, "Teacher, you have spoken well." But after that, they dared not question him any more. And he said to them, "How can they say that the Christ is the son of David? Now David himself said in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, David calls him Lord. How is he then his son?" Then in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. Luke chapter 21. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, "Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had." Then, as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, "These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." So they asked him, saying, "Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "Take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has drawn near.' Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers, for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the power of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the earth of the whole, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. Luke chapter 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which was called Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, but they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. And he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Verses 1 through 6, Luke chapter 22. Thank you, Lord, again, for all those persons that are part of our listening family right even now. And thank you for all those that we've lifted up in prayer today. Thank you, Lord, for each one of us. And thank you for each of our prayer lives. Thank you for each of our gifts in the studying of your word as well. Father, bless each of us. And these are spiritual habits. Bless each of these and each of us indeed. Expand our territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon us. Keep us from evil that we may not cause pain. Father, set your church on fire with the spirit of prayer. Empower us more and more to be the faithfully praying church you've called us to be. And set every listening family afresh afire with the spirit of prayer, that each listening couple and family would commit themselves to praying and seeking you in their homes each and every day. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God, as we normally do before we end the broadcast. If you're listening and you've never given your heart to Christ, you've never gotten saved and given your life to Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to make that step right now. Would you, from your heart, pray this prayer and commit your heart and life to the Lord today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey you and follow you every day. In Jesus' name, Amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Please email us to get those in joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get copies of the articles we shared, again, the two titles are A Skilled Warrior and His Sword and Accessing the Vast Ocean of God's Grace. We'll be glad to get those to you as well. Email us for one or both. And of course, as always, if you'd like to get some of the prayer tools, including the prayer tool Kingdom Prayers, Psalm 91, or any of the rest, email us, same email. We'll be glad to get those to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.